Welcome to the 21st Show. I'm Reginald Hardwick. Brian Mackey is away today. Over the past few months, organizations and events representing the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer communities in Illinois have been the targets of hatred. There's often heated rhetoric behind the harassment. A common, and it must be said, false narrative is that LGBTQ people are groomers. In other words, a person who builds emotional connections with children to exploit and abuse them. Groups like Awake Illinois and the Twitter account Libs of TikTok have, in many respects, amplified that language. In the Chicago suburbs, Uprising Cafe and Bakery in Lake of the Hills became a target earlier this summer.
Northwest Suburban Bakery excited to host an upcoming drag show, now the target of relentless harassment. You see the smashed glass from the front door inside and outside the cafe. Now, this happened sometime overnight. A homophobic slur was also spray painted on the cafe's wall.
People were calling us groomers. People were calling us pedophiles. Obviously, there's damage happening last night, but this has been an ongoing thing for the past month.
You just heard the reports from WGN and WBBM-TV newscast and an eyewitness account from a drag queen named Jackie Love. The bakery canceled a drag brunch in July after the vandalism. It ultimately went forward in August, but even now, there's still demonstrators standing outside the bakery, and the online harassment has continued. We're going to spend the bulk of this program today talking about why this has been happening and how those getting targeted are responding. Tom Ray is founder, editor, and publisher of the Illinois Eagle. It's a news site that covers the LGBTQ communities in central Illinois and beyond, and he joins us now. Tom, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
We're also welcoming Moni Ruiz Velasco. She is the Deputy Director of Equality Illinois and LGBTQ Advocacy Organization. Moni, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you for having me.
And also with us is Suzanne Rothenberg. She is the Associate Regional Director of Strategy and Growth with the Midwest Office of the Anti-Defamation League. And welcome to you as well, Suzanne.
Hi, Reginald. Thank you so much for having me.
And listeners, we want to invite you to be part of this conversation. What have you been seeing in your communities? Does it seem like Illinois LGBTQ communities are getting the support they need in the face of these threats? Join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. Again, 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. So, Tom, let's start off with you. Earlier this month, the village of Buffalo Grove in Lake County held a national coming out day. Could you tell us about some of the media coverage it received in the weeks preceding?
Most of the media coverage I saw was the harassment they were getting. People like Awake Illinois, who were, again, accusing them of grooming. And they were honestly just the latest of a whole string of incidents I've seen in the Chicago suburbs.
And I understand even some of the, they even got some national coverage of that event, that very local event.
Yeah, mostly on far right sites like Breitbart, City Journal. I've been trying to track all of them. It's actually starting to get hard to do that.
What impact did that coverage have on the events? Were there safety concerns?
There were safety concerns. I can happily report that Buffalo Grove's event was actually sold out. They had plenty of people come. But like with a lot of other events that have been going on, the organizers were forced to actually work with police for increased security, had to fight to make sure they kept the venue going. It made it a lot harder than it really had to be.
Well, Suzanne, let me bring you into the conversation. Is this harassment of LGBTQ communities new, or have you believed that there was something new that's prompted this round?
Right. Well, we're seeing this grooming accusation really becoming like a catalyzing force between extremists and additionally with mainstream conservatives. It's not socially acceptable to hate people based on who they are at this point in time in the United States. And so what we're seeing is there is an accusation of unspeakable harm and evil, like grooming, that has gotten pinned on this group. And then the hatred becomes a little bit more acceptable for those who are looking to affirm their confirmation bias. And unfortunately, this accusation of grooming is actionable, right? People are becoming inspired to take their own violent actions. People are inspired to legislate based on the accusation of grooming. And people are also inspired to run, you know, campaigns on the accusation of grooming. It's a really hard time in society. And oftentimes when we're seeing hard times in society, we see a scapegoat. And unfortunately, that's what we're seeing happening with the LGBTQ community.
And it's not just the community. I understand, like, gender-affirming healthcare is also under attack.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's been a lot of conversation. What we often see is it starts circulating on social media and Twitter, and then you repeat something enough that it becomes true in people's minds. Some of these accusations and some of these actionable items get picked up by conservative pundits. And then from there, we're seeing white supremacist groups and extremists taking their own action. So nationwide, we're seeing harassment, threats of violence from groups like the Patriot Front, White Lives Matter, and the Neo-Nazi Nationalist Social Club. That's just to name a few. Regionally, the ADL Midwest covers 9 states, and we've had similar issues with the Proud Boys interrupting library programs in St. Paul, Minnesota, and in South Bend, Indiana. And locally, LGBTQ organizations, like you mentioned earlier, have been targeted by the extremist group, the Proud Boys, and other groups like Awake Illinois. So we're seeing it over a variety of issues, like you mentioned, from gender-affirming care and medical situations, all the way down to drag story time or drag brunches, which are normally joyful, accepting spaces for all different kinds of people.
Monet, let me bring you into the conversation. In the past 30 years, we've seen the Supreme Court approve marriage equality. We've seen support groups for gay youth in schools. And in September, a Pew Research poll said 64% of Americans favor policies that protect transgender people from discrimination in jobs, housing, and public spaces. However, at least 18 states ban transgender student athletes from competing on teams that match their gender identity. And Illinois is not one of those states. Moni, how do you square the hate-filled events with the growing acceptance of LGBTQ communities?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think it's important for us to remember that the majority of people in this country support our community, support the advance and the progress we have made. And it's really this small group of extremists, small group of anti-family, anti-equality people who are using intimidation tactics, using violence, and using hate to really try to change and take us backwards. I think what we've seen in some of these legislatures, again, are actions that unfortunately, in some of these states, are controlled by groups and individuals who are aligning themselves with these anti-family, anti-equality hate groups. And we're seeing the transgender community in particular being made the scapegoat and the target of some of these actions. So I think, you know, we want to make sure that our communities here in Illinois, but not beyond Illinois, understand that we have made progress. We will continue to make progress, and we will continue to push forward in a proactive agenda and proactive legislation, policies, and in every way that we can to continue to support our communities and to continue to move forward and not backwards.
Again, the number to call is 800-222-9455 if you want to join the conversation, 800-222-9455. Let's talk about social media. It's one thing to protest outside of a store. It just gets amplified when you put it on different social media platforms. And let's bring one more voice into this conversation. On Monday, one of our producers, Christine Hatfield, spoke with Reed Suitman. They are the vice president of Decatur Pride, which held a Pride Fest last month, and they kept track of the threats and harassment in the weeks leading up to the event.
There was a lot of pretty mundane harassment, just, you know, people telling us we're evil or stuff like that. There were quite a few that were suggestive of violence. They weren't direct violent threats. But one such example was these drag queens should disappear in the tall corn.
Suzanne with the ADL, talk about how social media kind of amplifies the rhetoric.
Absolutely. Well, we've been... In your intro to the conversation, and I believe Tom mentioned it too, there's an account called Libs of TikTok that's on Twitter. They often take content from the LGBT community. They'll post it out of context, and then that becomes inflammatory. One of the things that they're known for doing is posting about events like a drag queen story hour or a Pride in the Park event, just on a national platform. And again, we're seeing that becoming a mobilizing force for threats of violence and for actual extremist groups to organize and show up in these spaces. It's quite dangerous and it's quite alarming.
Are social media companies, you know, like Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, are they responsive when people ask to take it down? What have you found?
So the Anti-Defamation League has a research center called the Center for Technology and Society, and we're tracking online threats, and we're able to track the groups that are receiving most of the threats. And at this point, we've been collecting a lot of data to make cases for stronger protections. But we're seeing that a lot of social media spaces are lacking in protections for a lot of marginalized groups. We were able to successfully manage a campaign that got people to pull their ads from Meta for about a month. I think this was in 2021, because we were able to show, you know, people have this really hateful post, and then your advertisement is right next to it. And that got their attention. But we're always collecting data, and we're always hoping to use that data to be able to force a conversation around how we can really be protecting all marginalized communities. There's a lot of work that still needs to be done.
Tom Ray with the Illinois Eagle, I understand you have some other insight.
Yeah, and I've mostly just to support what Suzanne was saying, because I have seen, especially local right-wing Twitter feeds and social media pages, actually amplifying those same national medias as much as they can. Now, they will regularly report or retweet stuff that has come from many on the far right, and have even a lot of those Dan Prof papers that have gotten in the news so much lately, they'll pass those off as actual news reports on those same incidents.
And we talked about the Dan Prof websites and newspapers a couple of weeks ago, and it's known as pink slime journalism, and the fact that they look like regular newspapers, but they don't have the nonpartisan kind of reporting that most regular established newspapers and journalism organizations connect. Moni, what does the media get wrong in the course of covering these threats and the groups behind them?
Well, I think that what we're seeing, you know, there's like social media and kind of the amplification of that. I think what is important on the side of the media is to focus on the fact that these are extreme right-wing, anti-family, anti-equality groups. I think highlighting that point as to these groups do not represent like the other side of any issue. They're simply extremist groups who are, you know, promulgating lies, who are intimidating folks, who are, you know, at times crossing those lines into violence and and actual physical harm, as we saw in the bakery, for example, in the most recent example. So I think that, you know, for the media to focus, you know, our recommendation is for the media to focus on that angle and on that perspective, because that is what these groups are, and not give them any more attention or platform than they already have.
Well, we are talking with about the rise of anti-LGBTQ rhetoric and hate in Illinois with Tom Ray, publisher of the Illinois Eagle, a news site covering LGBTQ communities in central Illinois. Also, Moni Ruiz Velasco, deputy director of Equality Illinois and LGBTQ advocacy organization, and Suzanne Rothenberg with the Midwest Office of the Anti-Defamation League. We're also taking your calls at 800-222-9455. Again, 800-222-9455. We're going to read a few of our text messages from our text group and also get to some other questions about the rise of anti-LGBTQ rhetoric in Illinois. I'm Reginald Hardwick. You're listening to The 21st, and we're back after this. Welcome back to The 21st. I'm Reginald Hardwick, and for Brian Mackey. And today, we're talking about the rise of anti-LGBTQ rhetoric and hate in Illinois with Tom Ray, publisher of the Illinois Eagle, a news site covering LGBTQ communities in central Illinois, Moni Ruiz Velasco, deputy director of Equality Illinois and LGBTQ advocacy organization, and Suzanne Rothenberg with the Midwest Office of the Anti-Defamation League. And again, we'll taking your calls at 800-222-9455. We got a few text messages about this. We sent out a text this morning. Kate in Okemos, I think hate of all kinds is on the rise, and hate of all kinds is being aired and open. I do think because the LGBTQ communities are misunderstood and seen as an other, they are ripe for blame. And as the other groups move toward equality, may feel threatened that they will lose their rights. And Randy in Peoria County says, thank you for this conversation. Having raised a large family, I came to be much more understanding of the way individual persons come into the world and how we in Midwestern cultural society are risking the future of our whole way of life, regressing into mean, harsh, judgmental ways never done before to family members and friends who have always been, for generations existed among us in peace and are now shunned. We want to continue our conversation, and we talked with about Buffalo Grove. Let's head back down now to Macon County. Reed Suitman of Decatur Pride told our producer, Christine Hatfield, about online harassment they faced in the past few months.
I think it's easy for a lot of people to think that we're a really small minority. And I mean, we probably are a minority, but I don't think it's that small. And like, I don't think that the movement of our culture has made more people queer. I think it has made more people feel safe to explore themselves and to come out as queer. And so heteronormative folks are seeing a lot more queer people, but I don't think that there actually are more queer people as a result of our kind of changing culture.
Moni Ruiz Velasco of Equality Illinois, have you heard of harassment in other downstate LGBT groups?
I mean, there's been, you know, an onslaught of harassment, starting with, for example, we have partner organizations all across the state, and there were a lot of incidents of harassment last year at the beginning of the school year in schools all across the state against LGBT students. Particularly, there were some pretty bad incidents in Carbondale. There were some incidents near the Peoria area. So I do think there has been this emboldened sense that people can, you know, be open about their hate and the harassment that comes with that. However, like I said, I think that we are organized. I think that you know, I agree that I think we have a much safer environment where people can come out. You know, there was a recent report just this week saying that kids are coming out at a younger age than they've ever come out. So we need to make sure that all of the supports are there to make sure that they are safe and protected and loved for who they are. And just making sure that we are continuing with that, like I said, proactive supports and agenda to make sure that our community is safe and welcome, whether they're in a big city or in a small town or in a rural area, because our community is everywhere.
It's one thing to talk about online harassment, but could there soon be public policies that reflect anti-LGBTQ sentiment in Illinois? In August, Republican gubernatorial candidate Darren Bailey told supporters in Springfield he would eliminate, quote, egregious sex education standards if elected. He talked at a small rally organized by the group Awake Illinois, which in a tweet called Governor J.B. Pritzker a groomer for signing new sex education standards into law. By the way, we talked about those new sex education standards last week, and you can listen to that that podcast on the 21st.org, 21stshow.org. Tom Ray with the Illinois Eagle. Illinois is known as a blue state, but is there concern that some laws that we've seen passed in other states could come to Illinois as well?
I know that there have been some introduced. I try to track that as much as I can. They've been introduced, but because of the Democratic supermajority, they don't even get out of committee if they even get brought up in committee. So statewide, I'm not worried about that. But at a local level, I'm concerned, especially in downstate areas like where we are.
Is there a feedback loop, you think, in effect here, where rhetoric from political leaders is emboldening people?
Oh, absolutely. And Darren Bailey is actually not the only one. Representative Mary Miller, who is running for re-election, and I think she's expected to win. More than once, she's shared or hosted people who were very anti-LGBTQ. She's voiced her own opinions on that, being especially against the trans community.
Let's play a bit of a listener voicemail we got. This is Jerry from Urbana.
State lawmakers across the U.S. have introduced at least 162 bills targeting LGBTQ Americans this year through July 1st, according to a CNN analysis. Illinois, being a blue state, is less likely to have it happen as seriously here, but we are not immune. There are lawmakers trying to introduce such legislation, and more troubling is the number of Trump followers that are trying to win seats in the legislature and in the governor's race. We see it happening now.
So following up on one of Jerry's points there, and I think Tom also talked about it, Representative Mary Miller of the 15th Congressional District is spearheading a bill that would exclude transgender women from women's sports. She said it's, quote, to ensure that our girls have opportunities in athletics and that we protect girls in their private spaces, end quote. Moni, how do you respond to rhetoric like that?
Well, you know, I think that the response to rhetoric is that our communities are protected, that there are laws in place to ensure that our communities have access, equal access, and that we are co-equal members of society and of our communities. I think, again, you know, really focusing on the fact that these are fringe, anti-hate, anti-family individuals who are you know, trying to rally against some of the most hateful language and conduct that we've seen in this country in a long time, and just calling that out for what it is, rather than, you know, like I said, giving them any actual legitimacy to their comments or to their points. I think just, you know, what's important to note is to get down to the reality of what these groups and these individuals, right, including some of these elected officials, are standing for. And even, you know, in talking about the standards, for example, you know, the standards actually talk about how it's important for children to understand respect for boundaries and to know what somebody else's boundaries are and to understand and respect different kinds of families, which include blended families and single parent families and, you know, biracial families. And so this is what these individuals are against. Using our community, using the LGBTQ community is a red herring in all of this. But I think it's important to get to the underlying issue of what they're standing for, which is really hate and exclusion and white supremacy.
Suzanne Rothenberg with the ADL, I understand you have some points to make.
Apologies. I do have some points to make. Thank you. So it's really important that we're paying attention to what's happening at a state level and even on a regional level. Over in Indiana, there was an anti-trans athlete bill that was passed. The governor vetoed it, and his veto was overruled by the Republican supermajority in Indiana. But I also wanted to bring up the really important point that school board members are also elected officials. And school boards are making the decisions about what's happening with children, what kind of programs are being introduced or not being introduced, and what kind of hiring decisions are being made. We know that there are a number of members of Awake Illinois that are running for school board positions. And so it's so important that people in individual communities vote and pay attention to who's on their ballot all the way down to school board member. Because that school board is becoming a more and more important elected role as we're seeing these issues of hate and extremism being more common in the public square.
Moni, I want to ask about intersectionality and, you know, about what you hear from people of color, disabled people, and other marginalized groups, you know, and that also may be LGBTQ. Is there kind of almost like a double whammy of rhetoric aimed towards them? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, like I said earlier, these groups really stand for their anti-family, anti-equality groups. And I think that means equality in every sense of the word. There also have been incidents of, you know, racist comments that they've made. And I think as we see, anytime there is kind of any movement towards exclusion or, you know, towards, you know, of hate, there's the impact is always going to be greater towards communities that have been historically marginalized. And I think, you know, communities of color are obviously within that that framework. And when you think about, you know, someone who is LGBTQ and is a member of another historically marginalized communities, the impact to, you know, to of these groups on those individuals is going to be even greater because there's greater fear, there's less, you know, access sometimes to protection for those communities. And we know that these individuals are intimidating and dangerous. And so we've definitely heard of the increased, you know, fear that exists in all the different historically marginalized communities.
We've got about 5 minutes left in our conversation, and we're talking about the rise of anti-LGBTQ rhetoric and hate in Illinois with Tom Ray, a publisher of the Illinois Eagle and news site covering LGBTQ communities in central Illinois, Moni Ruiz Velasco, deputy director of Equality Illinois, and Suzanne Rothenberg with the Anti-Defamation League. Let's go to the phones and talk to a caller from Menard County.
Hi. You have me as coming from Menard County?
Yes.
Okay. So I am a very committed Christian. The hills I'm going to die on, there's five what I call red letter hills, and they're what Christ taught. Love the one and only God of all creation. Love others. And he didn't specify which others, so it's my job to love everyone. And this conflicts with a lot of people who believe like me. I am not LGBTQ, but I certainly support their rights to love who they want to love. and to marry who they want to love. I do not support anyone's right to have multiple sexual relations, non-monogamous sexual relationships. And I think that that's true whether someone is heterosexual or LGBTQ. It's just dangerous, and it's not good for children because it gives them insecurity in their life. The thing of it is, I'm also very pro-life. I don't know where I fit in anymore because I'm very pro-Constitution, and that obviously was very challenged. You know, the Constitution was extremely challenged a year and a half ago or however long it's been. So I really, like I say, but I do know for sure God is not calling me to hate people. He's calling me to love and respect and support other people. Because okay. When you love someone, you do respect them. You do support them.
Okay, got that. Thank you for calling us from Menard County. You know, I think there are some people, you know, everyone lives on the left or the right. There's lots of people in the middle. There's even LGBTQ people who are conservative, like Caitlyn Jenner. So I would ask maybe Moni, you know, maybe address that. I mean, how do you square some of these very, kind of big opinions with folks who are kind of in the middle and kind of trying to find themselves? And we have only about a minute for that answer.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, in some ways, like your caller said, this is about families. This is about people seeing themselves represented in books, in history. This is about our communities being safe and being valued for who they are and being able to live with dignity and respect. And that's ultimately what this is all about. And that's what we stand for. That's what our community stands for. And, you know, we want to advance that for all people.
Suzanne, do you have any recommendations for people, you know, if they are LGBTQ or if they have allies, you know, do they get into it with people online or in person? Or what do you recommend that people do?
Well, there's a few different pieces here. So I think it's really important to know that when you are having a contentious conversation in the comments online, that's messing with the algorithm and making more people see the original hateful post. So that's just something really important to keep in mind. In real life, if anybody is ever the victim of an incident of hate or bigotry, they can report it online on ADL.org. There's a space where you can report an incident, and then that allows us to kind of spring into action and see where we can help. And then one beautiful example that we saw in St. Paul has a regular drag time story hour at their Highland Park Library. And they were being harassed by organizations like the Proud Boys. And for their most recent story hour, they actually had a counter protest of just, I mean, they had so many people showing up with optimistic, happy, rainbow, sparkly signs just lining the sidewalk. So there was not even space for the hateful protesters to be there. So I think the more that our allies can come to the table, the more that our allies can stand with the LGBTQ community.
Got it. Thank you, Suzanne. Sorry to cut you off, but we have to wrap it up. We got to wrap it up. Thank you to all of our guests. And coming up, Brian Mackey talks about the squirrels of Olney. You're listening to The 21st.